City of Sydney, home of corruption, loose money and sleaze.
Do not enter the city.
It's the city where everybody fails upwards. The city where you can't walk 5 metres without somebody selling you drugs, Botox, or fucking gelato Messina. And in this glittering glory hole, it takes a keen eye to separate the haves from the have-mores. Separate the dodgy property developers from the really, really dodgy property developers. It takes a team who knows Sydney so well that they've had the good sense to broadcast this show from an entirely different city altogether.
Ladies and gentlemen,
on Sydney's Triple M, this is Radio Chaser.
It most certainly is Charles Firth, Mark Humphreys, Rhys Muldoon and Dom Knight with you today as the details from the census keep flooding out. Who would have thought that collecting massive amounts of data from Australians could be so interesting, or indeed interesting at all? But it is. We've been looking at some of the numbers. It's some great stuff.
It's absolutely fascinating, Dom. I'm just astounded. Like, basically, no one seems to be doing religion anymore.
No, religion's kind of done. Well, look, not entirely done. Islam
is
growing. We still
believe in NRL, AFL, major denominations.
That's true, that's true. And taking the piss is still something you'll believe in. And look,
all the major gods like Jamie Thurston and some of the others.
Now look, because of this whole thing that for the first time no religion is our most possible, is our most popular religious belief, we thought we'd do our bit to bring back Christianity. So we've got a quiz for you all about facts from the Bible. Stay with us.
Hey, this is right up there with Harry Potter, this is.
Let's just say there's some weird stuff in there if you go and look.
The longest lunch in radio. Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Charles, Mark, Reese, and Dom with you today. And look, there is some breaking news in a matter very dear to one of our panel's heart, and indeed the hearts of many Australians. Rhys Muldoon.
I think this story is not just a big deal to me. I actually think this changes the fabric of the nation.
Brace yourself.
This is constitutional.
This is absolutely constitutional, and I'm telling you that you are going to have a nation of upset children, upset parents. There's going to be chaos across this nation, and let me tell you why.
What has happened?
What have they done?
Play school.
It's cancelled?
Dom,
it's
don't
not
even
canceled.
Say
don't even joke Dom, about don't something even, like that. Dom.
Don't even joke about. That's like saying goodness. A meteor is coming towards Earth. Don't even say that.
So Big Ted and Little Ted are okay.
Yes, they are for now, but kind of. What's happened is Play School, for the first time in their history, let me just point this out. For the very first time in their history, they are moving their time slot from 9:30 AM, which is what it always has been.
Always. Yeah.
To Tuesday at 3 a.m. No, true. No, they are moving their time slot from 9:30 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Oh, no! No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No, this can't be happening, Rhys!
This is...
There's a bear in there.
Listen,
but at the wrong time!
Can we get a doctor for Rhys, please?
This is basically the nation's clock. That show is the nation's clock. Mm. You know that you can drop those kids off at school and then your little one, 9:30, you sit them down, then you can get stuff done for an hour or half an hour.
That's right.
You know, while, you know, making Vegemite sandwiches or whatever you've got to
pour a glass of wine.
Pour a glass of wine and take a couple of Serapax. Whatever gets you through the night, you know, through the day. But, I mean, this is honestly, you know.
This is a terrible development because that also means that today, it's now going to clash with Today Extra as well.
Oh, so my goodness.
Is a problem.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sensing a real left-wing agenda here as well. I don't know about you guys. Look, 9 o'clock feels very left-wing.
I think this does go to the heart of what the ABC is doing, isn't it? It's just the relentless grab for ratings that Play School has always gone on about. That's the agenda of Play School, and it has been for a while.
They're going up against Mornings or the Today Show on Channel 9, obviously. Yes, they just think they can eat into that
Studio
market.
Studio 10 as well. Actually, Channel 10, no one's going to watch that. But look, if I recall Play School, Reese, and I think I do, they have multiple
clocks on that set. The Rocket Clock.
There's
was
the
one
Rocket
of them.
Clock. Yeah, there's the other clock.
We've had a number of clocks, and there's always a big, you know, that itself is controversial. Every time you change a clock, oh man, the phone calls, the letters, you know,
is that from Queenslanders objecting
to about their curtains fading and stuff?
Well, look at the clock, Play School. Look, 9:30 is the time. 9:30, not 9. That's wrong. It's stupid. It's un-Australian. Now, what's it like working on Play School? I've always wanted to ask you.
Well, it's a lot of fun, but can I recount a slightly saucy
Please.
I know that play school and saucy.
Saucy doesn't normally are my favorite.
It doesn't normally go together.
My favorite show has already been ruined once.
No, it's not going to ruin it. It was just one of the funniest moments I ever had on play school. So one of our hosts, whose name is Leah Vandenberg, who's a very attractive girl, just like without dispute. And she had to sit. She just is.
I challenge you.
She is just objectively. No, she is an objectively attractive girl, okay? And this is the song that she had to sing on play school that we had to do take after take after take because of how it went. Yes. This is the song she had to sing. Doodly do, what can you do with a candle? Wait, it gets better. Wait. Doodly do, let me tell you what you can do. Rub it here and rub it there.
No!
Rub it. Yes, that was the song. And it was about rubbing a candle over a leaf, like paper, over a leaf, and then you'd colour it in with crayon. But that's as far as the crew would just, the cameras are shaking. We just had to keep going again and again and again. And Leah's just like, what? And we're like, what do you mean, what? Like, that was...
Oh. Reese, when that happened on set, did little Ted become Big Ted that day? Radio Chaser. Triple M. Lots of questions being asked about Aveo, an operator of retirement homes. There was a report on Four Corners.
Aveo is a great company. I've actually invested all my life savings in the Aveo thing. They make so much money. They are the most profitable retirement home.
Breaking news, Charles. They don't make much money anymore.
Yes. What?
Okay, so there was a huge story on Four Corners that basically broke this and showed that Aveo, who basically look after old people and run old people homes.
Yeah. People we trust.
Yes.
Trust people.
Our
agent,
our most vulnerable people. And Aveo are just exploiting them beyond belief.
I'll give you
an example. What they're doing is basically buying an old person's home, freehold home, for about half what they're worth, and then selling them a new home, which is about triple what the new home's worth.
That's why it was making so much money. It was such a good
Charles
stock
money.
Tip.
Charles Firth's investments. No, money without ethics.
Because it wasn't just that. It was things like once they got there, you know how like old people like Milo with milk and things like that. I used to work at a retirement home, and you have to serve out the Milo and stuff like that. At our retirement home, we just gave it out for free. At Aveo,
foolish.
At Aveo, they charge $5 for like a spoonful of Milo.
No,
in your lukewarm.
But
Milo.
It sounds as though they just basically charge for lots of incidental little things, like $10 for a Band-Aid.
Yeah,
for a Band-Aid. $10 if you lock your key in your room and someone's got to come and like open the door with the master key. Like every single thing you do, more fees. And this is undermining the whole premise. We, you know, once upon a time, our old people lived with us and we looked after them. Mm. Now the whole deal is we don't have to do that. We don't want to do that. So they're supposed to do it. And now people like Aveo are making us feel guilty about dumping our old people with them.
But the only mistake we made was we didn't charge our grandparents all those surcharges.
Right.
We should have been, you know, every time grandma said, can you get me a Milo, we should have been charging $5.
Do you know, this goes back to a very historical thing that used to happen with mining, okay?
Hey.
And what they would do is...
For Milo, in the Milo mines.
No, but you know, like with mining, particularly in America, what they used to do was, like in WA, you go and mine and you get paid tons of money, but at the local store, it's $25 for a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And that's where that song, you know, I sold my soul to the company store, that's where that comes from.
Okay.
So Aveo is a bit of that sort of history.
I thought it was another play school song. Sorry.
Different track.
No, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But so now, look, grandparents for me, I was always just getting money for nothing.
That's true.
I was just, as I was leaving the house, they just slipped me a quick...
Little tip.
Yeah, a little fiver. Just,
I think that's the founding story of Aveo. They realised that grandparents were suckers for giving you money.
But good luck getting $5 out of my mum. I tell you what. She's like, I'd say, Mum, I'm in real trouble and I need some money. And she'd go, no worries, darling, and give me $10.
Well, when she's getting a little bit older, Reese, we know just the place to go and park her. But look, frankly, I think that the warning signs should have been clear from some of their promotional materials.
At Aveo Retirement Homes, we're on your side, so it's sale time. Hey, old man, want to drink something nice before bedtime?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, why not try a nice cup of lukewarm Milo? Was $5, now just $4.80.
No, thanks. That's still quite expensive.
Fine. Changing your mind is just $6.
What?
And saying what is now just $7.
What? Oh.
Hey, is that a small graze on your hand?
Yes, my grandson came over and we were playing.
Shut it, old man. I don't want to hear about your stupid grandson. Now, here's a Band-Aid for that graze.
Oh, thank you.
And that'll be $10.
What?
Uh-oh, it's getting a bit dark in here. Looks like that light bulb's gone.
Yes.
Don't get out of your wheelchair.
Oh, thank you.
I'll replace it.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you. That's $100.
What? It's cold.
Payment declined.
Uh-oh, looks like you've run out of money. Sorry, old man. It's time to leave via our especially steep exit ramp and tell your kids they owe us $350,000.
We take BPAY, FPOS and credit cards. American Express will incur a 1.5% surcharge.
What?
See ya! At Aveo Retirement Homes, you don't need to worry about your life savings. We'll take that off your hands for you.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Time for the daily quiz. 133353, the number if you want the chance to win a Chaser prize pack. And look, this the quiz today has been inspired by the census, which tells us that fewer Australians are Christian than before. This used to be a good Christian nation. What's happening? 133353. All questions from the Bible here. These are, I've checked them out. They're in the Bible. I promise you. Would I lie to you? Jason from Roselands is first up. Hey, Jason.
How you going, boys?
How well do you know your Bible?
Yeah, pretty good.
All right. Well, let's see how you go. First question here. True or false? Just simple true or false. The young King David presented his enemy King Saul with 100 foreskins in return for the right to marry his daughter. Foreskins of the Philistines, of course, the enemy of the Old Testament. Is that true or false?
True.
It's false, Jason.
Ooh.
See, Saul asked him to serve up 100 foreskins, but David went, screw that, I got 200 for you.
Oh,
and then he got his daughter.
That's a trick question. That's pretty harsh.
133353 if you want to play it. Look, it's the Bible. It's God's word. I can't change the answer.
Yeah.
1 Samuel 18.
This is Dom's literal interpretation of the Bible.
Yeah. Do we know what happened to the foreskins after? They're in a museum.
They're
somewhere?
In a stew being eaten. Right. Yeah.
I think the wedding ring. I don't know. All right. Paul from Castle Hill is up next. Hey, Paul.
Hi, mate.
All right, let's see. Here's the second question here. Is it true or false that Noah got drunk on wine from his own vineyard and passed out naked in his tent? On waking, he exiled his grandson for no reason. Is that true or false? Did that happen? Was Noah a pisspot who picked on his grandson for no reason?
He did.
And even worse, when he woke up, his foreskin was missing.
Genesis 9, by the way, if you want to check that story out. Well done. 133353 if the Lord wants to send some more callers for the quiz, by the way. Third question here. In memory of the siege of Jerusalem, very sad thing.
Yeah.
True or false, the prophet Ezekiel was ordered to lie on his side for a year and only eat bread baked with human poo.
You can't bake human poo.
No. The fire was fueled. The bread was baked on.
No, that is from the Aveo Retirement Village. That's the annual report.
All right, Paul, true or false? I'll run your part through it again. So this is from the book of Ezekiel. To commemorate the siege of Jerusalem, the prophet Ezekiel was ordered to lie on his side for a year, only eating bread baked with human poo. Did he do that or not?
I'll say true.
No, because he protested, so God let him off, and he still had to lie on his side for a year, but he could break the bread with cow poo instead.
Well, these are so harsh.
I know, it's very
like
harsh.
As in the people who have answered have been generally right, and then you go, no, it was 2.7 pieces of poo.
It was cow poo.
Like, you're getting them on little details.
For the Lord is a just God.
Oh, my God. I didn't know God was a barrister.
St. Bruce from Marrickville is up next. Hello, Bruce.
How you going, mate?
You ready to go?
Yep.
All right. In the Bible, does this actually happen? During a battle, at one point, stop the sun and the moon dead in their tracks until Israel is victorious. Is that a thing that happened in the Bible? It's true. Well done.
Okay. I thought you were going to go.
Pretty impressive.
Venus and Mars.
Now, also, when we say it's true.
Joshua 10, Mark. Argue with Joshua 10. All right. Next question. Did this actually happen in the Bible? Is this in the Bible or not? True or false? Jacob gets into a fight with God himself.
Yes.
The fight lasts all night. Jacob defeats God. Does that happen in the Bible? True or false? Does true. Jacob beat God? True? No, you can't beat
true.
God.
Wait, it is true.
No. Not true. Not true.
It's true.
Hang on.
It's true.
God won. God dislocated Jacob's
hip. No, but they wrestled.
They did wrestle. We'll give that one to you, Bruce.
I think you've got to give it to him.
Jacob did not defeat God. Of course you can't defeat God.
No, but Jacob and God wrestled, and then because of their wrestling...
This has turned into a sort of theology lesson.
All right, Bruce, we'll give that to you because Reese is being profane. Final question here.
You're listening to Christian radio.
Final question for you, Bruce. All right, this is one of the best scenes in the entire Bible, and I say this as a bald man. Are you ready?
Yep.
True or false? True or false, there was a scene in the Bible where some children teased the prophet Elisha for being bald. In return, he cursed the children, and the Lord sent two bears who mauled 42 children. True or false?
False.
Afraid it's true. That actually happens in the Bible. They just presented. There's no sort of analysis of whether that's fair or not. They're just like, yep. 42 kids because they called him a baldy.
I thought it was going to be on a hair theme that you would at least go Samson and how he lost all of his power because he had no hair.
So don't make fun of bald people because bears might attack you. So we need a tiebreaker here. Sebastian from Barara, final question here. You ready?
I'm right here.
Okay. True or false? In the Bible, Jesus cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any fruit when he was hungry. It withered and died. Did Jesus take out his irritation on a fig tree? True or false?
Oh, I'm going to go with false.
It was true.
Oh, right. No.
Oh, dear.
This is difficult. We've got a Sean in Centennial Park.
What a waste of ability.
Sean?
Yes, mate.
Is there a book called The Bible, true or false?
Wow.
True.
Yeah! Yeah! Oh, wow. I thought you were going to be called... No, it's called Ex Libris.
How was it? Radio Chaser. Triple M. And it's time for the nation's favourite segment.
Cat's Pyjamas or... Cat's piss.
Our panel, Charles, Reese, and Mark. I tell them some news stories. They tell me cat's pyjamas or cat's piss. Simple game. From the Mirror in the UK, Princess Diana's old chef has revealed the one item that the royal family would never eat. All their gourmet meals, their pheasants, their partridge. They would never allow the menu to feature
a poor person.
They didn't eat poor people. That's certainly true. No, garlic. They would never have garlic.
Oh, vampires.
My question to you, cat's pyjamas or cat's piss, garlic.
Are they vampires? Isn't that the first thing that comes to mind if they won't eat garlic?
They don't like being stabbed with silver items either.
Yeah, exactly. They don't like being stabbed by crucifixes.
And their coffins do look like, their beds do look like coffins. So I don't know. But so yeah, garlic. What do we think? I don't mind.
There's got to be some reason for this. Do you think it's like, is it about because they have so many official dinners and they don't want to have garlic on their breath? Or?
That's what the Mirror suggests. But
is
I like your other theory better.
You think vampires?
Look, you couldn't rule it out.
It's like Twilight.
On that. It's a little bit revealing.
It is.
Garlic is like oxygen. I can't imagine not eating garlic. No, I think this is
cat's piss. I can tell. I can tell from here, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it keeps you healthy, doesn't it?
Does it really?
Apparently.
Maybe.
No wonder they look so.
It cleans your blood. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Not as good as a vampire cat.
Yeah, I can't imagine living in a whole life not eating garlic. Like, your whole life would just be bland.
Like, what garlic bread is just... Like,
that's true.
It's
just
bread.
What's that? All right, let's move on. This is from The Mirror, also in the UK. A pub, the Fenbell Inn in Kent, has a collection of exotic animals in the back garden. Should we have zoos and pubs in the same place? Is that idea cat's pyjamas or cat's piss? A pub with a zoo.
That is cat's pyjamas, hands down. Like, I would visit I suppose the Warwick is a bit like a zoo.
We had a good day there.
Slash pub, isn't it?
Monkeys, they've got meerkats, lemurs, birds of prey, raccoons. Lots of other things out the back of the pub.
Aren't wild animals the natural enemy of drunks?
Really? I think drunks are the natural enemy of wild animals.
Wild animals, yeah. Exactly. Going, hey, Charlie, I dare you to XYZ. Yeah. None of them are good.
Especially with birds of prey.
The publican says, I'm quoting the guy that runs the pub because he's got a full zoo license. If someone turned up here with a pet lion they didn't want any longer, we could keep it. We want to have lots of big cats going.
Who gave that pub a full zoo license? That's the... What drunken counsellor did they bloody knock off to get that?
I think we know. Maybe they got some freebies from behind the bar. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's what it is.
I bet you everyone pays the bar tab, though. Like,
you would, wouldn't
they? Oh, yeah, you're at the back. Yeah, there's just, yeah, there's like a, you know, a snake around the barman's neck. Yeah. And it's just like, you're going to pay for that drink, buddy? You know. Yeah.
All right. Final story here. Now, look, I haven't had kids myself, but I know you guys all have. And it's a special moment telling your family that there's a kid on the way, that they're going to become a grandparent for the first time. And I imagine that was lovely for you guys, was it?
Yeah, my parents cried.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Out of joy or
no, sorry? No, out of all the sort of responsibilities they'd now be lumped with. Yeah.
Oh, no, those genes are being passed on. Oh, no.
I think I got a
text. We thought his personality would cut off the gene pool once and for all.
I think I got a text message, you know, like, oh, good for you.
Oh. What do you think of this panel as a way of announcing the impending birth? A cake. You give your mother a cake that says on it, "Happy birthday, you stupid-looking grandma."
That's how she found out.
Boy, she's becoming a grandmother.
She really went for high wit. Like, what a brilliant sentence that is. Why didn't she just say that? Yeah,
that's what
No, it'd be much better going like, "Guess what? I'm up the duff, you fat bitch."
Triple M. Radio Chaser. Now, next week, of course, the start of school holidays. I think some kids are actually already on holidays if they go to
fancier schools. That's right.
But look, I always feel sorry for parents when this happens because I kind of think, well, basically kids go to school to muck up. That's my recollection. Like, that's the point of school, is to have some sort of organised chaos. When kids come home from the... aren't they just doing that at home? Like, they're just pranks and mucking up and giving you cheek to the parent? Is that what happens?
I think the school holidays are just essentially about giving teachers some mental health space.
That's to recover from all the pranks. Yeah.
Just going back on, like, when I was at school... boy, teachers used to cop it. Like, particularly substitute teachers.
Yes.
They used to cop it the worst. Like, they'd really, you know, I'm just wondering if we could maybe see if any of our callers have actually got some practical jokes that they saw at school, because I can remember a couple of really bad ones, and I'm just interested to know if they've changed over the years.
Oh, yeah, maybe there are some new ones. Yeah, school pranks. Love to hear from teachers, or if you played them yourself. 133353. Best school prank. We'll give a chase a prize pack too, because insolence should be rewarded, I feel.
I think so. Now, one of the ones that I remember particularly fondly, at the time, it's not such a big deal now, but when I was growing up, they'd have on Today Tonight, those kind of shows all the time. Mike Willacy, I think it might have been at the time. Mm. And it was all about glue sniffing, was the big...
Yes!
That was the big deal, right? Like,
that was the Muslim radicalisation of its day, wasn't it?
It was absolutely that. And it was just on the news all the time about glue sniffing, glue sniffing, glue sniffing. And we had a substitute teacher, and Stuart Harris, I still remember his name, shout out to Stuart from Belconnen High and Scotland Primary. He had a plastic bag which he'd put some water in the bottom of it, right, and hid up the back of the class and kept his head down and was just going a with the plastic bag kind of motion, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And the teacher goes, she just notices him and goes, "You, the boy, up the back, what are you doing?" Right? He lifts his head while sniffing it, right, and goes, "You'll never stop me," and keeps sniffing it and just running around the classroom while she's chasing him. And then, you know, hands over and it's all water and she's in tears. Like, I mean, it was horrifically funny.
That's so cruel.
I know.
Presumably, I hope he actually got, you know, on detention and then stuck to the chair so he couldn't move the day.
This might be a generational thing, but did you guys have nuggeting at school?
What's nuggeting?
What's nuggeting?
Nuggeting is where you take someone's backpack. Becca in the studio, maybe, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but you take someone's backpack, you remove all the contents, you flip the backpack inside out, and then repack it.
It's just inside out.
Oh, so the straps are on the inside,
yeah,
so you can't.
It's a fairly pointless exercise, but
it sounds like a lot of work.
You were a very naughty boy.
Yeah, that takes a lot of effort.
I never engaged. But
you were never suspended, were you?
No, certainly not.
The one I loved, we used to do it in French all the time. We had a terrible teacher who just had no control.
You'd kiss in a really unusual way.
And every time he went to the whiteboard, we would just move. Everyone in the class would move their desks forward, just, you know, by 1 inch. Completely imperceptible.
Yeah.
And it would just go on and on and on. And especially in double periods.
Like,
you just
space
all
invaders.
End up the front. It was just so much fun.
Yeah, we did a similar thing, actually. Charles and I went to the same school, I'm embarrassed to say. But we had one teacher who always arrived late and had no, like, he was actually very funny, but no control over the class. And so that gave us like a 5-6 minute window to do massive practical jokes. So we do things like he'd come in and the desks were facing backwards.
Yes.
My favorite one was he came in once and we'd taken out all the tables and chairs. We were just sitting on the floor, cross-legged, looking completely perfect.
Oh.
But my the other one that it's almost too mean. We had these twins. Who
I've got
quite
a mean
short.
One. I've got a mean one.
And so he often couldn't tell that like both the twins weren't there. So he could look around and one of them was there. And he'd there was a little kind of laneway under the windows, like kind of underneath. And they'd crawl up underneath and just he held up a sign next to the teacher that said, "This man has no penis," with an arrow pointing to his head. And then as the guy looked around and he whips it away and he's like, "Hi, sir."
We had one. Speaking of windows, our high school was on dual levels. Like, so there was a high level, like two levels off the ground, yeah, right? And substitute teachers didn't know that there was a ledge just outside the window. And so as the substitute teacher kid came in, there's a kid literally at the open window who goes, as they're entering, just goes, "I can't take it anymore," and leaps out the window.
Oh, let's go to Robert in Glebe. Hey, Robert.
Hi there.
What's your school prank?
Oh, God, I was such a horrible child. I'm just trying to sift through them all. I've broken legs. I've squirted teachers down the hallway with fire hoses.
Whoa!
I'm just trying to think of one.
Are you calling from Long Bay?
Yeah. No, I was dreadful. I really was. I hated this particular math teacher, Mr. Campanolo. And I got into the classroom about half an hour early, and I balanced all of the chairs upside down in the pencil slots in all of the desks. So there's about 40 chairs all balanced very, very delicately.
That's good finesse.
All upside down on 40 desks, yes. And I quietly left and closed the door quietly behind me. And at the beginning of the lesson, obviously Mr. Campanolo thought it was me because I was a horrible child. He said, "All right, I want you to go in there and take them all down." So I just threw a chair in and they all came down fairly quickly, very loudly. Six of the best for that one.
You obeyed the order. Mr. Campanolo, if you're listening, 1-3-5-3, love to hear your side of that story. Great story, Robert. That may well be the best. We'll see how we go. Alex is on the Central Coast. Hello.
Hey, mate. How you going?
What's your school prank?
All right. Well, when we were younger, had a mate who was a fair bit of a bush boy, you know, always going out there.
Yep.
And he captured a snake one day.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to start off with that. And he knew that. But he brought it into school the next day. And, you know, we're all about 10, 11-year-old boys. Oh, snake, that's awesome. What can we do with it? So we put it in the girl's desk during the lunch break.
Did you say you put it in your teacher's desk?
No, one of our fellow students.
Oh, what did they do when they found it?
What did they do? Did they die?
They screamed extremely loudly.
Right.
And so everybody's freaking out. And my mate who originally caught the snake just leaps up. "Don't worry, teacher. It's a non-venomous snake. It's this type. I'll take care of it."
Oh, so he set himself up as the hero of the school.
Yeah.
A beautiful
false
flag.
That's a great story. We'll move on to Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey.
Hey, what's your school prank?
So I had this this Chinese substitute teacher in school. You know, she'd have all right English, and we'd be learning every day. But one day we decided as a whole class to play some Space Invaders. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Oh, I know Space Invaders inside out. Don't worry, you're talking my language.
Yes, we'd all move 1 meter forward, and you should have seen her facial expression when she turned around and she'd look at you and go, you know. Turn around, be on the board, and you'd all get the poise, you'd all go forward 1 meter more, and shut around and go, "No, no."
Oh, so all of the so all of the desks are like the Space Invaders that move. Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
I got it. Love it.
Out of time while she's on the board.
Lucky you weren't playing Galaga, just like all asteroids, you know.
Welcome to Australia. That's lovely. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael.
How you going, gents?
What is your story?
Mate, I was in about year 9 in high school, and there was just a bunch of year 12 kids I didn't like, and they used to go into a year 12 study when they had a spare break.
Yep.
So I used to watch what time they used to go in there, and I went at home, and on a hot day, I'd made a mixture of self-raising flour and itchy powder.
Oh.
And I went in, snuck into the room and put it on top of the ceiling fans. So when they walked into the room...
I love pranks that go, there's an effort, you know, when you actually go to work to do something really hateful.
Are you now an industrial chemist, Michael?
No, I'm not, mate.
That's great.
But it was just fun to watch them all come running out, covered in white powder and scratch themselves like they...
Oh, that sounds good, like a
story.
NRL...
Just one more call before we go to the next song. Luke's on the line. Luke.
Hi, guys.
What's your story?
in year 12, I was doing like an automotive class, and our teacher was showing us how to get into our cars if we left our keys in there.
Uh-oh.
And anyway, we came across one of the teacher's cars, and it was unlocked. And, you know, we're in year 12. We were leaving school pretty soon.
Oh, God.
So, he had the manual wind-down window, so he wound his window down and put glass on his front seat. And he's come back at the end of the day and think, oh, shit, someone's broken into my car, smashed his window, and he drove around the school for the next 2 months with a plastic bag over his window.
That's very clever. I was worried where that was going. He sat in the car and got shredded to ribbons and got taken to hospital.
The nice thing is no harm done except to his state of mind. What do you think, Mark? Best story?
Oh, God, that was pretty good. I've got to say, I did admire the itchy powder on the ceiling fan from Michael.
That was ingenious, wasn't it? We shouldn't reward that kind of behaviour, but we will.
Can I just defend the plastic bag on the window? Because that gift just kept on giving.
Okay.
For a month, he's driving around.
Do we have a spare?
No, Judge Humphreys has decided, I'm afraid. We will send Luke, though, a bunch of broken glass for his car if he wants to do it again.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M. It's Lunchtime Radio's Night of Nights. Welcome to the Chaser Awards with your award-winning host, Dom Knight of Knights.
Yes, thank you very much. Anyone can win a Chaser Award for anything. Panel, who are we awarding today?
So, first award goes to Tara Seymour for Best Excuse Ever.
Ooh.
She was a Melbourne nurse. She was sacked for not passing a drugs test. But she appealed, claiming that the reason why she had drugs in her urine was because she just immediately before the drugs test had sweaty sex with the man who'd taken drugs.
I don't necessarily disbelieve her, by the way.
No.
Apparently she pointed to scientific evidence that could possibly happen.
It's true. If it's marijuana, it's absolutely true. I once got tested for drugs, right?
Yeah.
And marijuana came up. And I do not smoke marijuana.
You had sweaty sex.
With a guy who smokes marijuana. Now, all you have to do is be in a room with someone who smokes pot and it will show up on you.
You don't need to do that. All you need is a letter from Waleed Ali. You can get off anything. Any more awards? Any more awards?
A quick shout out to a chap. His name is Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow.
I wish we had the fact. Fact.
He's had his Opal card inserted into his arm.
Really?
He has. The little microchip. Apparently, that tampering with the card's a breach of the terms of service.
Does it help him tap off?
Brilliant. Wonderful.
Okay, my award goes to Viva Columbia Airlines, who are looking at, you know, all the airlines are looking at low cost and how to save money. Well, they're going to rip out all of the seats out of the plane.
Wow.
So it'll be standing room only, which I'm thinking maybe government planes should do that with all the Liberal infighting. They're going to lose a lot of seats anyway.
Yes, they will.